So again, what has become the way of thinking in our culture? What is the driving force that's bringing about so much radical change, and why has it also become so attractive to the church, and even to the point where it's changing the meaning and the work of the gospel itself? What can you and I do about it? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to Truth Unbound, and this is your host, Walter Swaim. All right, welcome again to Truth Unbound, and this is Walter Swaim. Okay, so when we hear the terms like, for instance, critical race theory and Marxism, socialism, white privilege, equity, that's a big one. There's something more that is driving that. There is something bigger. A few years ago, I felt something off in our culture, quite a few years ago, and it was gradual, but it was there, and it seemed to be linked to different parts of our society. It's a shift in thinking and how beliefs are formed, and attitudes became more brazen in their opposition to one another. And I just couldn't put a finger on it. I felt that there was something that united it. I slowly began to see more of it. And thanks to a friend, an old professor of mine in college, and then I caught a couple of books, podcasts that talked some about it, and the light bulb went on. And so part of what I'm sharing with you today, and is in my book, To Be Clear, Proclaiming the Gospel in a Post-Truth World, and yes, I'm putting in a shameless plug for that today. This whole thing is to give you an introduction into what the book talks about, and let's discuss this today. Okay, I began to do the research, and then I wrote my dissertation for my doctorate on it, which then became a recently published book, as I just said. And the link in the thinking and the attitude, it's apparent everywhere and has been for some time. It's just really come to a head and now not only permeates the culture, but dominates it. For instance, it's behind a lot of the global warming promotion in the sciences. The obvious bias in the media now that's just brazen, open. Social media, even entertainment, incredibly outlandish laws from our highest offices in the land have been made based on this type of thinking. Even when we hear and see Marxism, Marxism has been around for a long time, it just finds different clothes to put on and a different way to talk and to what in its effort to try to get at the hold of the minds and hearts of the American people, especially now. The vehicle that it uses is different than ever before. So what is it? What is this thinking? What is this motivation? What is it? It's called post-truth. Post-truth. It is the mindset, it is the motivation, it is the attitude that is in the lead. Especially after last year's events, it exploded onto the scene. Here's what I've written in the book. It says, "How is post-truth actually defined?" For that answer, we return to the Oxford Dictionary, which defines it as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. This term skyrocketed in 2016. Oxford Dictionary in 2016 called it the word of the year. And to continue on, British journalist Matthew D'Ancona states this: "This is the defining characteristic of the post-truth world. The point is not to determine the truth by the process of rational evaluation, assessment, and conclusion. You choose your own reality as if from a buffet. You also select your own falsehood, no less arbitrarily." And so, in other words, in our previous postmodern years, you were taught we couldn't know truth. There were no objective standards of right and wrong. There cannot be objective standards of right and wrong. It's all constructed by society, depending on who you are, where you are, what culture you live in, all those, what time you live in. But you can't have objective standards of right and wrong. Now, of course, when you say there are no objective standards of right and wrong, you're saying there's an objective standard, that there is no right and wrong here. And so, you know, that type of thinking has eroded. It took a while, but it is eroded. But it gave rise to another type of thinking, and that is post-truth. It may see the facts, but feelings and personal opinion are the truth. In other words, post-truth can say, okay, yeah, I see your facts, I see your data, but I don't care. I really don't. What I think and feel is, well, that's actually the truth. The post-truth conditioning of the American mind like this has gone on since the 70s. It has educated millennials for a generation and now is educating their children, the Gen Z kids. It, like I said before, has propelled the global warming scientism and created an aggressive and manipulative news and social media industry. Hey, excuse me for interrupting. I know I do this every video, but just want to remind you, hit the like button if you like today's video and also subscribe to our channel. That way you can get the latest when it comes out. We're going to continue to do this and to be this ministry and for you to be a part of that. Thank you so very much. All right, now back to me. The danger has been that in many evangelical circles, it is being accepted, and increasingly so. It already has been, but it's increasing at breakneck speed. It is into the seminaries, it's into the disciple making now, because they allow it to change the theology, or they attach it to historic biblical theology, and the two don't mix, but they make it happen. And then it changes the definition of the gospel, the good news. The most simple thing in the scriptures. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. But now it's said, well, but that's not enough. Yes, but it's also about making societal changes. It's about righting wrongs. It's about oppression. It's about victory over the oppressor. It's about making everything equitable. Not equal, but equitable. It's Jesus plus. They're adding to Jesus. And the scriptures warn us about that, that we are not to be adding to Jesus anything. In fact, Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, I marvel, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I think that's pretty clear. Yet it's being allowed in the door everywhere. And so that's dangerous. And we can't continue to let it happen. So my burden has been is to take what is behind the scenes and what this linkage is through post-truth thinking, especially in the church, and bring it out before the church and say, we're going the wrong direction on this. And this is what we need to do to stay the course as Jesus and even the apostles after him started. So what can we do to defend against it? What can we do to overcome it? As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, the remedy, first of all, is to get back to knowing what the basic fundamental historic doctrines of the scriptures are and keep them that way. In Jude's words in the Bible, it was the faith once, like once for all, delivered to the saints. Secondly, we must throw out the false ideologies and the teachers and not let those false beliefs come back in. To stay on, be a vanguard, to watch carefully what's going on. Thirdly, we need to get back to the actual making of disciples of Jesus, that will make disciples of Jesus, not teach how we can be good, nice people who believe in a God. There's a lot of religions that teach that. Christianity is distinct and it's unique. Fourthly, we need to live lives that prove the truth of the gospel, that Jesus truly saves and transforms the heart into someone brand new who looks more like him every day, even when we stumble and fall. Lastly, we need to be educated and to raise our kids in the truth of God and answer their doubts in church and at home with the pure, true biblical teaching of the word. Show them not only what they believe, but why they believe it, okay? What has God given to us? The why as well as the what. The bonus here is also that I said lastly, and so I'm adding a bonus here, and that is to keep the gospel the gospel, to show people that Jesus died for their sin, rose again from the dead so that they could be alive, and to turn from their sin and put their faith in him. It's that simple. And then to show them how to walk in the Lord as we all do it together on the same journey. So there's a lot here. Those are just some simple, quick mentions of the steps. I talk more about it in the book. And when the video ends here, we have on the next clip here how you can get a hold of the book. And I encourage you to do so. And I thank you very much for doing that. Well, thank you so much for watching this today. I hope it helped you. I'm passionate about this, if you can tell. So let's not be post-truth thinkers. Let's be biblical thinkers. And remember always, if you follow Jesus, you'll follow the truth. We'll see you next time.